this week in The Wicked Wardrobe, I am joined by In My Hands Audio. Hello, how are you?
I am fantastic, and you can call me Ben.
Oh, okay, from the get-go, lovely. I was hoping that. Welcome, Ben. It's very lovely to have you here and to be able to have a chat with you and find out, I don't know, a little bit more about, you know, what goes on behind the mic. So for people who don't know you or know of you or how you contribute, what's your story? What's the details? How are you in this space? How do you contribute?
I probably not much, but I do try. I've been doing this. Wow, I think we're going on 5 years now.
Wow.
2017 maybe was my first. Now I had written a couple of erotic audios that I had put onto Literotica before doing audios. And then I was getting out of the rock and roll business,
right?
And decided, well, how am I going to keep my creativity going? Yeah. How am I going to keep my voice in tune? So I started doing voiceovers for locally for production houses, commercials, right, things like that. And that was okay. But again, I'm doing other people's work. Yeah. And so I was just floundering around on Twitter one day and came across this account, and this person was doing both, you know, kind of a girlfriend boyfriend audios, and she had also some, you know, spicier stuff. And so I said, wow, that sounds really cool. So I messaged her. I sent her one of my deep radio voice.
Oh yeah,
type of audios.
We love a radio voice. Yeah, right. And how did that go down?
She said, just send me your real voice. Just say something sexy. So I did that as well. And she said, I'll get back to you. And a week later, she got back to me and she said, I hope you don't mind, but I sent it to a few of my girlfriends, and the consensus is that your voice is dangerous.
Are you going to start a cult anytime soon? Yeah, maybe.
Right. And that's how it started. I posted my first audio to Literotica, I think in June or July of 2017. And been kind of just progressing ever since, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think this will ever be a, it probably will be a full-time gig for me soon, but I've been looking forward to doing that for a while, but you know, with doing your regular life with your regular job and everything, it leaves little time to carry this on any further than I would like to. So I'd have to make the jump pretty soon.
Right. So this is, so you're essentially what is kind of generally known as a VA in the space, but you're looking to make this a bit more of a full-time commitment soon?
Mm-hmm. I would love to.
Well, that's exciting. So with regards to your first sort of experience and posting those initial audios on Literotica, were you nervous about that or anxious about, you know, how that would be received and the feedback that you might get?
No, not at all. I was doing it for myself. I was doing it for my own expression. I was doing it for my own desires. I was doing it for my own thing. Is like, and if anyone else thought it was cool, great. If no one
did, that's a bonus, right?
Fantastic. It didn't really matter to me whether it was good enough for someone else. It was doing it for me to get my expressions and my fantasies and things that I had done out into that form. And doing the expressive audio thing just seemed to fit so well for me. It just flowed off my tongue. I just expressed exactly what I was imagining in my mind within that scenario in that moment. Hit record and went, and that was all I did. I didn't really do anything. I didn't do any script writing. I didn't even think about it beforehand. I was just thought of an idea, a scenario I had been in before, a scenario I'd like to be in, and just boom, there you go.
So it's totally improv for you when you record
everything.
Wow, I so admire that. I It's something I'm working on. But then I think if you're working on improv, is that a thing? Are you kind of not negating that whole that whole process in some way? And I guess having the experience that you have had prior to from the music industry and doing other sort of voiceover work, it wasn't for me. I'm just kind of trying to relate to it from my perspective, thinking, well, I was terrified at the initial response because, like, I don't listen to myself if I can help it. But you came with that confidence.
I did have a lot of experience already. I already knew what I sounded like on the microphone in speakers and a sound system in venues. Wow.
Yeah.
I already knew all of what that was. I'm very comfortable behind the microphone and knowing how I sound, knowing how to make different sounds and make them sound good.
Yeah.
So I already knew all that side of things. So that was a no-brainer for me. But yeah, for someone new, hitting that, you know, that red light is always like, you got that, uh-oh, the red light's on now, what do I do?
Yeah, this is me.
right. And that takes some time to get over if you haven't really done that before. Or listening to yourself is also a completely different, you know, concept rather than hearing yourself in your head, rather than hearing yourself in your ears. You know?
Yeah, very much so. With regards to your recordings, do you edit them much? Like, is there much production behind, you know, once you've recorded?
Not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, because again, it's genuine, authentic, and in the moment. So if I screw up a word or I'm saying
that's something real life,
wrong,
right?
Well, it's real life. That's you got me in that moment. You got me in that when I'm doing that thing right there.
Yeah.
So you can only concentrate on a few things at once. And if you mumble or something, or you just say he instead of she or him or her, whatever, it just doesn't flow out as well as you wanted to. Well, that's real life. That's what it should be. It's not going to be perfect. Sex isn't perfect, and nor should it be. You're gonna work it around. So the only edits I do is I maybe fix the EQing.
Sure.
There's a noise reduction on some of the things if I'm in a noisy, because I record in all sorts of different places and venues. So background noise I'll probably get rid of. And on the occasion that I'm getting into it or something and I go, I have a coughing fit or something before it, or clear my throat, I'll just edit that out. That's really the only editing I do.
Really kind of bare bones,
bare bones, and I really try not to have to do any of that.
I guess it would seem that's more about your quality of the audio, not so much the content of it. And you know, aside from
for me it's all about the content, not about the quality. So I mean, I record straight off of my iPhone.
You're joking, really?
I was not joking. Because when I am doing a recording, I am acting it out. I'm not just sitting behind a desk or a microphone. I am actually moving around the room, walking.
Wow.
I am on the bed. I'm doing that thing that I do, you know, and I'm all in the process. So, you know, and sex is moving. Sex is physical. Sex is all those things. I've tried to do it in front of the microphone at my desk, like I'm sitting here right now.
Sure.
And I can't, because I'll bump something or I'll move something because I'm doing all the actions that I want to do within that scenario. So I just found that putting a piece of foam over the end of my my phone works out famously. I'm obviously for the other stuff I do, like narrative stuff for other people, other authors, or my poetry. Things like that. Yeah, I'll do it in front of a microphone. But if it's the one-on-one type thing, it's all interactive all the time.
It's method. It's immersive. It's the real deal. I guess. and isn't, oh gosh, I totally get where you're coming from. For me, I primarily do script fills, and I really need to. People ask me, how do you choose your scripts? And for me, it's really got to, I don't, I've really got to connect with it, and for it needs to be genuine and authentic, because I don't want it to be a performance, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, as much as you respect, you know, me doing the type of audio I do, I cannot do scripts.
Really?
I find them very difficult. I find that, well, I do have a dyslexia problem, which makes me not read very well.
Okay.
But, I do find it, a little bit higher anxiety to read someone else's thing because I don't know how it's going to go, even though everything I've read has been fine for everyone that I've done. But, those script fills, I think I've done a very, very few off of Reddit, if any at all.
Yeah.
And I found them more difficult.
Okay, I'd never heard of that sort of experience. Because I'm so comfortable reading scripts, and similarly, I have a music background, and I don't read the script before I record it, which, you know, occasionally bites me in the ass because something will happen within it. I was like, oh. Jeez, I didn't see that coming.
Neither do I. It's a one-hit wonder type thing, right?
I love that. I love that approach to it because it's the real deal, right?
That's me
in this moment, and it's captured, and this is what you're getting in your ears, people, you know. For those who don't record that way and labor over repeating lines in editing, I seem to be able to do it, and I think part of that is my music training and having to sight read and just go with it and interpret it at the time. But I also love, for the script, I love being almost a listener at the same time, or a consumer at the same time. I'm learning what's happening in this and how this story is developing, and how there needs to be some sort of narrative for me to really sort of, you know, connect with it.
Absolutely.
But I love learning about it as I go and I read. And but like I said, it has caught me out a couple of times. I misread a tag for something, and I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum, so don't at me, people. I misread the tag little space, and the script. It was a mummy dom script, and I was putting a grown man to bed and putting him in a onesie and brushing his teeth. And I went, yeah, no, that's not for me. No, I'm not.
Could not relate to that.
Put your own goddamn pajamas on. No, you know, just
right.
It's kind of much like, this isn't for me. Maybe three or four times it has bitten me. I did a script at the end of, I actually cried. I thought, oh, because there was a twist at the end of it. And I just thought, okay, didn't anticipate that one either.
Yeah.
But how powerful, you know, are words, and I find it to be quite a privilege to read other people's and to interpret them.
I'm always taken aback when somebody asks me to read their things, whether they be a short story, a poem, or a script or something like that.
Why is that? I don't
do them. I don't advertise doing them. So when someone does ask me, I'm like, you do know this is not in my realm of things I do, but I will give it my best shot.
Sure.
And I've done some things for some authors, Violet Gray, and I also have Ellen, and a few others. And they've all posted all those audios on their own websites because they've loved them so much. So it's great. I always feel like, you know, I didn't do it justice enough because it's someone else's work, and I always worry that, you know, is this what they're expecting?
Right.
You know,
I guess if they've approached you.
Did I meet their expectations? So.
Yeah. Is it something you're becoming more comfortable with?
It is. As long as the stories are short. I will never be able to do an audiobook. Just don't have the attention span for it or the time. But you know, short stories, poems, things like that, definitely I love doing all those things, especially other people's work. I've become a lot more comfortable with it. And as you know, I won't go out hunting for it, but if other people ask me to, I definitely will, for sure.
Wow. So whilst you're not advertising, you are open to doing shorter works. Okay. Yeah. Where can I just want to know where? So now are you still on Literotica?
I am actually just posted one today. Should be up next week because it's Wednesday
Okay.
now, and I think they only post on Thursdays and Fridays. So it will be up next week. I haven't posted there in a long time, and so I am getting back into posting to my public spaces like Reddit and Literotica, and to my public space on Vanilla Audio as well. I've really saved a lot of audios just for my private page. I probably have 20, 30, up to 50 different videos and audios on my private page that I've never released publicly or anywhere else. So just kind of been saving it for that little spot. And then I'm going to go back and take a look and maybe release some stuff on things like Siren or Quinn or things like that. So.
So you mentioned you're on Vanilla Audio. I think that's where I first discovered your content, and the irony. Well, others might not think it's ironic, but the fact that I'm actually on Vanilla
Right.
now, so, whoa, that's a full circle moment. So you're also a Quinn creator, am I right?
I'm going to be very soon. They've
Excellent.
been adjusting their business model over
Yes.
the last year.
Yeah.
And we everyone every business goes through their ups and downs and
Sure.
whatnot. So they're really getting into the app side of things, obviously,
Yes.
and the kind
Yeah.
of they their website kind of went through a few different phases that went up and down as well. And now I think they're getting everything together. They do have a lot of people on there,
They
and
do.
I'm hopefully to get my spot in there as well.
Lovely.
And but I will let you know when that happens for sure. But I am also on Siren as well, and Cheeks and Vibes as well. All those ones.
Lovely. It's great to see that your content is out there and people can consume it with, they're all, not all, but those ones you've just mentioned are behind paywalls. If you're listening, I am also a Quinn creator. And that's actually where I first heard my very first erotic audio when it was just the beta website a couple of years ago. But yeah, there's certainly content out there. I'm excited to see you on Quinn. I think Quinn girls, get ready. Brace yourself.
I
It's
hope they have me. I hope they do have me.
Let me think about it. Yes. But no, I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. But exciting to sort of expand into another platform.
Absolutely.
So I had a little bit look around your Reddit profile because I don't think I've really followed too much there. It's more vanilla where I've sort of followed your content. I noticed you have a Patreon as well. Is that something you're actively that
No, I
no?
switched. I didn't shut down my Patreon because it's used as a backup, and it does hold a lot of my archive material that's also never been released. So it's definitely worth, checking out all the old stuff I've had on there. But I moved to Vanilla Audio about 2 years ago, so that's where I post there at least once or twice a week. With erotic audio, video stuff as well, spicy video stuff, spicy audio stuff, as well as some regular things like I do on my YouTube with cooking and drinking with me, or my outdoor hikes or things
Oh, I
like
love your
that.
hikes.
So I preview all that stuff on my private page before it goes public. And as I say, I haven't put a lot of stuff out in public for a while because I've just been holding on to it onto my, onto my private page because, those people deserve to see it
Well,
because they
they pay
work
for your
for.
content. They pay for the privilege, don't they?
Absolutely.
And the access to it. So you want to come good with that, if
Absolutely.
you're generating an income out of it. With regards to your process and creating, do you draw inspiration from where do you draw inspiration from? You mentioned, scenarios that have happened or you'd like to happen. I often get asked, like, how do I choose my scripts? How does inspiration strike you, I guess?
I have a great imagination.
Mm-hmm.
I am never lost without my imagination, that is for
Yeah.
sure. Now, there
Okay.
are times, it's always, I always say it's the trifecta of, the time, place, and space all have to come together at one point for you to actually
Yeah.
be in that space of being, of wanting to do something like this. So it's like even with, being with somebody else,
Yeah.
you have to have be in the right
It's all got to
headspace.
line up, right?
You got to be in the right place,
Yeah.
and you got to have the right time,
Yeah.
and all that stuff has to come together when recording as well. So that doesn't happen as often as you'd like it to.
Right.
So inspiration out on that comes from, people's ideas, the things that I would have never thought of, or something that takes me out of my, out of my comfort zone, or something that I probably maybe I wouldn't have thought of, or what I'm not really into. If I can connect with it, like you said, I'll give
Yeah.
it a try. But there are some things I just don't know the mechanics behind some things. So, I'd
Yeah,
probably
it's like,
fail at it
how does that work?
miserably,
Yeah.
right? So I wouldn't know how that works.
Does it, being a creator in this space, does it sort of prompt you to explore and I mean, do you I assume that you listen, but I've spoken to people and had a chat with people who don't actually listen. They just create. Do you listen?
I found that my listening goes in spurts.
Yeah.
I am more curious to find out what people's voices actually sound like. So I'm a huge verification listener on
Oh.
Reddit. So I will listen to everyone's
Oh,
verification
I'm the same, man. I
audios.
just once that verification tags on something, I was like, get it in my ears. What do you sound
Right?
like? You know, it's kind of like
Yeah.
unwrapping a present. You know,
Yep.
it's just like, oh,
Exactly.
you know. And occasionally you get that one that just you have that visceral reaction to. It's like, oh, follow. Just,
Absolutely, right? And it's like, oh, that
yeah.
sounds well.
Hello.
And so then you see how they can actually, produce an audio, how what where they're coming from on that sort of stuff, and then go from there. And the other ones, again, for my own, I won't say curiosity, but just to open up the realm of the things that I'm missing. There's a whole host of VAs coming out of the gaming community. And
Yes,
again, something I
that's
am
true.
not familiar with at all. I used to be a gamer, obviously, and I think of the younger crowd is more of the gaming, community as well. And so you have a lot of the younger VAs, both girls and boys, men and women, coming out of that community, and they're exploding, just
They
doing
really
so
are.
well. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Where are these people going to? How could I get on board on this? And so I'm curious to see how that's developing as well.
I wonder if that's a somewhat of a generational thing in that being somewhat older myself, I see that, and also having the infrastructure that they do, the platforms, the hardware, the gosh, everything seems to be very immediate and present, and this I'm going to stream myself, or you know, I'm doing a live stream. It's like, what? You know, back in my day, God, so old. It wasn't an option. Technology has, afforded this almost new breed of, I don't know, entertainment
Absolutely.
of media.
Absolutely. And it's so easy for them to get set up too, because they're very familiar. This is, they're cyborgs. Instead of having stuff that's internally attached to their body, it's all external, but they're still using this as an interface to a whole other world. And they're super integrated into that, where, maybe you and I maybe not so integrated, and it's a big learning curve for this. For them, it's second nature. And so, they can traverse this, quite easily, and know how to interact, and know how to be on these platforms, a lot easier than I would, for sure.
Yeah, and I wonder then with that also, the accessibility of it all as well. You can do it from your bedroom. You can do it really anywhere. But that whole it just seems so simple and so easy for them. It's not for me.
It
It's been
does.
been a learning curve
It
for
does.
me, and but also that I don't know. Acumen in a way that they can build profiles and, you know, be across multiple platforms. And it really does seem a lot easier to establish yourself within this space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And their ability to manage it all.
You know,
I look at the number of social media sites that I manage on a daily basis, which is, you know, half a dozen to 10. And that's overwhelming. And then I see, you know, some of these people who have also added to Twitch and a Discord and this and a that and the other thing. And I'm like, wow, how do you just managing that social media aspect of what you're doing is just overwhelming.
Well, I think also it's time management as well, isn't it? And also the balance of it, because whilst, you know, there does seem to be this influx of new creators, there is also, I am seeing much more creator burnout happen much more frequently than it seems to have previously. And I don't know whether that's just the sheer volume of content that they're creating, or I don't know, for whatever the reason is, but almost it seems like there's almost an incessant need to create, to get that next audio out, or to finish that next project, or to, you know, set up that stream, or whatever it is. I guess it always comes back to somebody's motivation for contributing to the space.
And you're right, and the demands of the listener, especially and the younger age group, are quite high. You know, where's my next fix? Where's my next thing? When are you doing more? When can I, you know, where can I connect with you on almost, you know, on a daily basis?
Very much.
And I've really tried not to, you know, fall down that hole because, well, I can't fall down that hole because my time is limited to begin with in my life. Yeah. So I can't afford, I just don't afford that to happen. I put it on a priority that is probably four or five things down the road in my life. Uh-huh. And that's where it sits. And when I get to it, I get to it. And if I don't, I don't. And that's just my prerogative. And that's what works for me. And if you're doing something, and I've been in the position as a musician and a performer of feeling like I have to do more, I have to be more, I have to perform more, I have to produce more.
Yeah.
And you get a much lower quality of stuff when it comes out, then you're just turn into, you know, just pumping out the same stuff all the time. Just a machine. And you do burn out and you do lose that what you did it for. And so I just decided that this time around, I'm just doing it when I do it. And that's when it happens. And if it doesn't happen, there's been times where it doesn't happen for three weeks.
That's okay. Oh,
that's okay. Guess what? Yeah. That's life.
Yeah. And how, I was going to say how wonderful it is, but it must be very liberating to not be, not trapped, but beholden to a schedule, to a timeline, to, you know, I often, people often say to me, she's like, you're doing too much, you're going to burn out. She's like, whoa, I'm a grown-ass woman, I can manage myself, thank you, but I'm good. I have the times and mean the time and means to do this.
Well, I still have quite a heavy schedule. When I mention how many audios I do a month, other VAs are like, what, are you crazy? Because I do four to five on my own platform every month. I do one or two for Vanilla Audio every month. I do one for, you know, Siren, one for Quinn, one for Cheeks, one for, you know, all these other people. So the amount of exclusive audios I'm doing are probably, you know, close to 10 to 12 every month.
Yeah.
That's quite a few, especially when you have all this other stuff going on as well.
Real life
stuff.
Remember like that thing?
I still have to go to work.
Yeah.
I still have to do things like groceries.
Boo to adulting. Boo to adulting. We just want to do the noise.
Adulting and stuff like that. So you're right. You know, I think the younger generation or the younger group, qualify their time differently than I do, where they make their online presence a more of a higher priority than I do.
Mm. Yeah. I, we just before Ben and I started recording, you mentioned, you know, not recognizing some of the names of folks that I've, you know, been lucky enough to have a chat with. You must have seen over these past 5 years this space evolve and develop it. And, you know, I often hear, and even I've seen it in my brief 2 years in the space, not quite, but I've seen it change. And you would hope that it continues to evolve, but
yeah,
the true nature of it all really, I don't know, it, whether it's for good or for bad or whatever, it's grown and it's developed. And, you know, for something like GWA to have, I don't know, what are we, last I saw close to 850,000 subscribers, crazy. Also, yeah, you know, global pandemic,
yep,
people need to feel connected. I get it. Does it excite you to see so much development and new content and new creators out there?
Absolutely. I think it's very exciting to see people, you know, 90% of performing is putting yourself out there, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. If you get on stage and you put yourself out there in some sort of way, you have my respect just doing that.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, everything else comes out after that and people kind of weed out or whatever. Sometimes it's a one hit wonder. Sometimes
yes,
they're in it,
yeah,
for a few months. But I'll be honest, I am rarely seeing people who are in it over the 18 month mark,
yeah,
let alone the years mark. And I think that's also to do with is that everybody wants the newest thing.
Yes.
So
yes,
who's the newest thing? What's
who's,
the newest
who's
thing?
Bright
what's
and shiny today?
Who's bright and shiny today, right? Mm. And it's the same in music as well. Who's the new bright and shiny stuff? So
yeah,
you know, I look at myself kind of like myself, you know, being in it for 5 years, you know, Gail being in it for,
yes,
you know, close to, you know, 9-10 years now. People like Hank, same age, same as time as me, Jay Masters, and a few others who have been doing it for a length of time that I've been doing it, you know, we're kind of like the
OGs.
U2.
Yeah,
we're the U2 versions.
If you're gonna liken yourself to somebody,
right?
Make it Bono. Yeah,
Bono. Right. We've been around for
it
all that time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I think for us coming out with new stuff, people have to kind of go back and really like the old stuff first before they start listening to the new stuff. So. And we're always there. You know, it's always the stuff that you're going to play in your, you know, if you equate it to music, you know, like what I'm going to play in my car today for a driving tune. Well, I really like this one. I really like that one. Your go-tos, right?
Yes.
But if it's a Saturday night, you know, you want to hear the newest thing. So you're going to go on, you know, GWA and find the newest thing. Right. That's, I find the competition for me is battling the newest thing all the time. But I also find to that, I will also find that women especially are looking something for something they can count on. And the newest thing, you know, it definitely can't count on. You don't know how long they're going to be there. You don't know what they're going to be like interacting. They could be a complete douchebag.
Yeah.
And they completely, you know, there's been a few that have, you know, fallen off of the, you know, the pedestal because they've slipped up in one way or another.
Yeah.
And haven't been, you know, an upstanding, you know, person of society. So, and truly, someone asked me, you know, I said, well, how do I do this and do this right? I said, well, it depends how you look at it. If you're looking at it as a professional thing, then you will, you know, you will conduct yourself accordingly. If you're looking at this as a dating site, you will conduct yourself accordingly.
Yeah.
So it all depends on how you want to look at what you're doing. And that's how you will conduct yourself. So a lot of the VAs that came in here that made a very big splash very quickly.